Will robots steal your job? Probably, if we're being totally honest. Hello, and welcome to Lost in the Sauce. I am your host, Lola, and we are back for episode 4. I literally just got back from America earlier this week, and part of me is like, I wish I was still there because I had so much fun. But my friend sent me videos of the snow that happened a few days after I left, and it's like minus 12 degrees Celsius out there right now. So I am not complaining too much. I'm happy to be home, happy to be back in my own space, my own house. And yeah, this year is looking really, really exciting. So I'm kind of excited for the year ahead. If you've listened to my other podcast, you'll know that I'm doing this whole contracting thing at the moment. I've got Black Girl Tech, and there's going to be some major news coming up about Black Girl Tech in the next few weeks. I'm not going to say too much about it, but it's going to be major. And yeah, I'm just kind of excited for the year. And I'm excited for this episode. This episode is going to be about automation. We've seen, you know, stuff about machine learning, AI, you know, we've gone to the supermarkets and realized that there's way more self-checkout stations rather than, you know, the regular checkout stations with the servers behind the till. We've seen McDonald's and other fast food places have more self-checkout and self-service stuff, and you know, we're seeing more and more instances of machines doing jobs that we're used to seeing humans doing. And that's all part of automation, and it's something I'm quite interested in. It's not something I'm an expert in or I know loads and loads and loads about, because I do not. But I've been reading, I've been listening, I've been watching a lot of stuff about it. And so that's what we're going to talk about in our main topic today. And then in the source, we are going to look at the difference between machine learning and artificial intelligence. The two are used interchangeably, but they're not actually the same thing. So we're going to look at what's the difference between artificial intelligence and machine learning. So yeah, let's get straight into it. Comfort and ease of access and, you know, doing things quickly, in my opinion, is human nature. Like, from the dawn of time, we have taken a task and we have found ways to make that task easier and easier and easier and easier. And we see that through, you know, we were originally, like, the human species were farmers. Everybody was like a hunter or a gatherer. And then you go into like agriculture and stuff like that. And it was all about farming. Yeah. How can we get food? How can we sustain ourselves? And then we kind of like, you know, realize that farming is difficult. Farming is hard. How can we make this easier? How can we make this quicker for ourselves? And really, that is what automation is. Automation is being able to make things easier and quicker to produce the same or better results. And so, as I said, we've seen this in farming industry, like from dawn of man, you know, till now. And then from when innovation happened in agriculture, we saw a transition to factories, and then innovation happened in factories, and we saw a transition to service industries, and innovation happened in service industries, and then we're kind of like in the kind of post-service industry stage, right, where we see innovation happening in service industries. That's what's happening right now, and we see automation really taking a major role. The difference is this time that in the past, all the automation that's happened and all the innovation that's happened has also created more jobs than the population. So people are able to transition from farmers, and, you know, because that was becoming more automated and other things, other things were happening. Like, you know, if you introduce machines, you know, people need to know how to build those machines. People need to know how to operate those machines. People need to know how to maintain those machines. Jobs, 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 jobs. And those jobs are usually happening in factories. So you have a bunch of factories, you know, employing a bunch of people. And then, you know, when, for example, take the car industry, when cars were introduced, that, you know, provided so many more jobs, because again, you need people who know, who are going to have to build, maintain, fix, drive, and, you know, all these other things. So you have jobs that are created either directly or indirectly because the car was invented. And the amount of jobs that were created was like in proportion to the population growth. So it wasn't really a problem. It was like, in fact, a welcome thing, because the more jobs you create, the more people can consume. And as we know, we're like in a consumerist society, especially if you're in the West, if you're in the UK, in the US, you know, the Western society is consumer based. It's all about how can you consume. That's how our economies run, thrive and survive, right? So it's all about how much you can consume. You can only consume if you have money to consume. And the most, I want to say the best, but I guess the quote unquote best way to get money to consume is to have a job. So, you know, creating new jobs is an amazing thing for the economy, and it's an amazing thing for the individual, and individuals are able to live. And innovation has in the past always come with creating jobs. However, as innovation continues and as automation continues, less and less jobs are being created. If you compare one of the biggest car manufacturers, General Motors, who, by the way, I went to their, side note, when I was in Detroit's like the automotive city or whatever, and my friend works for General Motors, and I went to their like offices, but it's in a public building, and so anyone can go in there, and it's a really, really beautiful building inside and stuff. And they have a Marriott inside the building, they have a Starbucks inside the building, a bunch of restaurants inside the building, but it's General, like General Motors owns the building. They have a bank, they have a CVS. They make it really easy to not have to leave if you didn't want to, and if you could afford to stay there, especially with the hotel inside the building. You could just like, I don't know, if you have a late night at work, you could, I guess, crash at the hotel and just like walk 2 minutes to your office in the morning. It's weird. But anyway, they also had this like museum of cars, like their old cars, and it was actually quite nice to look at how far we've come. And then they had this kind of like showroom of their newer cars and, you know, stuff, and it was nice. But anyway, if you take General Motors and you compare that to one of the biggest tech companies, you know, alive, Google, the amount of jobs that General Motors created versus the amount of jobs that Google created is staggering. And I don't have the numbers, and I should have got the numbers, but it's staggering in terms of difference. Google has not created nearly as many jobs as General Motors has created, which you can say Google hasn't been around for nearly the same amount of time General Motors has been around. However, they have been able to not create as many jobs, not hire as many people, but make way more money in a less amount of time. And I think that's the kind of, I don't want to say issue, but that's the thing, right? So new companies, especially tech companies and companies that are forward in the push for automation, are able to make a lot more money with a lot less people. And so older companies, more established companies, are also going down that route because it's cheaper to, you know, use machines and maintain machines than it is to have people, and you're able to, you know, cut your costs and make a lot of money as well. And we see this happening, I think the best place we see this happening right now is at the lower level jobs, such as, you know, fast food jobs, such as supermarket jobs, especially here in the UK. I think those are the best two places where you really see this happening. And I think that's part of the problem, where the jobs that are going immediately are jobs where you would have working class people or poorer people working in them anyway. And so when McDonald's has like 5 points where you can, you know, buy your food or whatever, that's less people they need behind the till. Some people argue that this means those same people can be used for other things in the restaurant. So like serving your food directly to the table and stuff like that. But if we're being realistic, I mean, in a fast food place, you don't go to a fast food place to have your food served to you at the table, right? And even if that's the case, how many servers do they need? So I think that's kind of like can be all up for debate. But something that's interesting that I found interesting is that the first jobs to go or to be automated are jobs where people, you know, are more likely to be struggling for money and for jobs anyway. And if jobs aren't being created at nearly the same rates, then there's nothing for those people to move into, or the things that those people can move into is very, very limited and very few. Now, apart from that too, the question arises, can machines do the job as well as a human can do the job? And although it is, service industry jobs that we see mainly being automated at the moment, other types of jobs are also being automated, more specialist jobs, more skilled jobs. And so the question does arise, like, can a machine actually do, for example, the job of a doctor as well as a doctor can do the job of a doctor? In a nutshell, no, they probably can't. However, machines are really, really good at doing one thing and one thing well. So when we see machines being used in factories to, for example, make a car, there is one machine that knows to put the car bonnet on the car and knows exactly where to put it. And that machine knows that thing and it does that thing very well, very quickly, more efficient than a human who knows how to put a whole car together. And so when you have multiple machines working together to do that thing, it's a quick process. It's very quick. And so being able to build a car as a human, I mean, becomes redundant because a machine can do that. A group of machines can do that very quickly, very efficiently, right? And where we see that happening today is, so I watched a video by, I never know how to pronounce them, Kurzgesagt. I'm going to put them in the description for this video, but they do really, really, really interesting, informative videos, and they use like animations and stuff, and it's just really cool to watch. They're like bite-sized videos, and they have one on automation, and they use an example of a San Francisco, you know, company, right? They use a project management software, yeah, which eliminates the need for any project managers. And what the project management software does is it comes in and it analyzes what tasks can be automated versus what tasks can't be automated. And all the tasks that can't be automated, that can be automated, it identifies them. And then, you know, those people are gone. And then all the tasks that can't be automated, it learns. So it gets, you know, it tracks what the people in those positions are doing. Or, you know, you say, Bunnet, we're going to get freelancers to do those jobs. And then it tracks what those freelancers are doing, how long it takes those freelancers to do it, and essentially teaches itself. It gathers all that data, creates, visualizes relationships between the data, and it learns how to do those things. And really, when you look at it, like what the video was saying is that when you look at it, complex tasks are really just single tasks all grouped together. So something that is complex is when you break it down, it's really just a group of simple tasks, simple, well-defined tasks. And that's what machines are good at. And so if a machine can isolate the simple task that's needed for this complex operation and isolate all of those simple tasks, then it's going to either be able to, you know, you're able to then either assign, you know, multiple machines simple tasks, Or one machine is able to learn that, okay, this simple complex task, this simple task goes first, this simple task goes second, this simple task goes third, to create a whole complex situation and, like, you know, built out situation and stuff. So it is, I mean, it can be scary when you think about it and you think that my job as an engineer could be gone within the next 10 years or become automated within the next 10 years. But I do think that this is the time our governments need to really start thinking about and preparing for the future in which less jobs are created and more automation is happening. I don't think automation is a bad thing. I think that automation is a necessary thing in a lot of fields. But I also think that in a consumer society where bulk of our economy relies on us spending money, it's unrealistic then to, you know, see all this automation happening and expect that without putting things in place that, you know, we'll still, our economies will still grow in the way they need to grow. Now, one thing that has been proposed is universal basic income. And this is an idea that I'm totally on board and has been trialed. I don't want to say trialed because it hasn't been trialed like proper, but variations of it have been trialed in certain countries. I think like Finland and some of the more Nordic countries. And I think, I don't want to say Australia, but definitely some of the more Nordic countries definitely tried this. And universal basic income is the idea that everybody, just by virtue of being alive, gets an amount of money, a set amount of money. Just by virtue of being alive, everybody gets, it's not minimum wage because you don't have to work for it. I guess it's comparable to benefits, or if you're in the US, a welfare system, but it's basically a set amount of money, and there are debates on what that amount of money should be. Some people say the amount of money should be, you know, enough to live in a country. So like minimum wage, right? Everyone gets minimum wage. Whether you have a job, you don't have a job, everyone has that as a starting point, and can then, you know, pay for things and, you know, do what they need to do. And it takes pressure off of people working menial jobs and, you know, rubbish jobs and stuff like that. Other people argue the amount of money you get should be like a, you know, middle class living, you know, cushy society, relaxing amount of money where you're not stressing about anything. And I mean, we've never done that before, so would that mean that, you know, people aren't motivated to work anymore, people aren't motivated to do, you know, the disgusting jobs like being in the sewers and, you know, making sure garbage is collected and stuff like that? Who will do those jobs? Because no one wants to do those jobs anyway, right? And I don't know, like, I think it's interesting. I think if automation's happening anyway, it's likely that those jobs, like the jobs that nobody wants to do, will be automated. So I'm not even sure that's a valid kind of, you know, who will do those jobs. It's like, well, if automation's happening, you know, garbage collection will be automated, sewer maintenance will be automated. But something, so these Kurzgesagt people also did a video on universal basic income, and something that was raised there is that it will actually give people who do those jobs more leverage to say, if you want me to do these jobs, you have to pay me more. You have to make sure the conditions in which I work are much better. Like, it will give them leverage to demand better care for themselves as they work those disgusting jobs. Because really and truly, they should be paid more. They're doing really disgusting things. Like, nobody wants to do that. So it shouldn't be a minimum paid job, right? So there's kind of that kind of, you know, what happens if everyone's living a middle class life. But on a more basic level, just the fact that everyone, you know, has a basic like level of income just because you're alive, I think is a thing that needs to be trialed out in more places, because we need the data. We need to know how this would work. What's the best way to make this work? Of course, it's going to be people's taxes that pay for this. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's like for a net good, so that our economies don't suffer and crumble And so that there isn't, you know, there'll still be a kind of like wealth gap between rich and poor. But the bigger, the wider that gap is, the worse it is for our economies anyway, you know. And if more people are able to spend money, as I said earlier in the show, then it just, you know, means better things all over. So I think, you know, that's kind of like the main thing about automation. Machines are getting better at doing human jobs, and we need to prepare for what happens when jobs are becoming, I mean, jobs are already scarce. Like jobs have stopped growing at the rate the population grows for like 30, 40 years now. So we need to actually be thinking about how do we deal with this. And I don't think not automating is an option. And I don't think not automating is the answer either. I think we actually need to think outside of the box and look at things like UBI and other things that can position ourselves so that we don't crumble. And I mean, it's likely the end of the world is going to happen soon, especially with, you know, climate change and other things. But, you know, let's try and make our societies a better living place for everyone. I don't know. That's just my thoughts. So yeah, that's the main topic on automation. Let's get into the source. One thing I forgot to add in the last bit is that looking at cars is a really, really, really good way to see, or in fact, looking at transport in general is a really, really, so I'm just going to move my water because it's fizzy and I think the bubbles are in the microphone. Anyway, looking at cars is a really, really good way to see how automation has changed over like the millennia. Because when you look at how we assume how many jobs were created through the introduction of a horse and carriage. You know, now you're breeding, you're creating carriages, you're creating wheels, more jobs, you know, and stuff like that, maintaining carriages and stuff like that. And then you have the invention of a car, which is a huge deal. It's a big thing. And that created jobs directly and indirectly, as I said earlier in the podcast. And then we look at how cars are moving to self-driving cars, which reduces the amount of jobs created and also makes other jobs redundant completely, right? And it's just a really nice kind of, I don't know, metaphor, image, if you want to kind of really understand how automation is different this time, how innovation is different this time around. And as I said, the Kierkegaard, I'm not saying that correctly, but the Kierkegaard video that I watched on this topic uses other examples as well. And it's about 15 minutes long and a really, really good video. But yeah, enough about that. Let's get into the source. So today we're looking at artificial intelligence and machine learning. What is the difference between the two? Well, as I said, this is not my domain, so I did have to Google. And what I found is that artificial intelligence is kind of like the overall bag that everything kind of fits into. So I think like robotics fits into artificial intelligence, machine learning fits into artificial intelligence, like all your smart products fit into artificial intelligence. But it's basically the concept of a machine being able to do things that we would consider quote unquote smart. So that's what artificial intelligence is. And then machine learning is a very specific bit of AI that is all about machines being able to learn themselves and teach themselves. And so I explained it earlier in the podcast as a machine gathering data, seeing relationships in that data, and being able to then teach itself about that and work based off the new thing it taught itself. So a good place to see this is through internet adverts. When you buy something on the internet, data is collected about what you buy, and data is built up about who you are, what you're interested in. And so then the adverts you see are related to things either that you've bought or that you've searched about that the machine thinks you are interested in. And it's all based around what you click, what you buy, what you search for. The machine is noticing relationships and patterns and then able to feed that data back to you. And the more you click, the more you search, the more you buy, the more the machine learns and is able to even tailor make adverts specifically for you. And if you click X on an advert, that is also, the machine's also learning from that. So if you dismiss an advert, the machine is learning from that too. Okay, you're not interested in this thing, but you're interested in that thing, etc., etc., etc. So yeah, that's what machine learning is, and that's what AI is. They are different, but machine learning is part of AI, but not everything that's AI is machine learning, if that makes sense. So that is it for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I will be back in another 2 weeks. I am considering making these episodes weekly, but it really depends if I have enough topics to talk about. If you do have anything you want me to talk about, if you have questions about anything code related, engineering related, let me know, or just general tech questions, let me know at Lost in the Source on Twitter. And I will hopefully be able to answer them. And if not, I'll be able to point you in the right direction, hopefully. So yeah, thanks for listening and see you next time.